So let's go back to part of the reflection on the will of God. The 8-day retreat, this October 20th, 1936. My Jesus, I'm going to the wilderness today to speak only with you, my Master and my Lord. Let the earth be silent, and you alone speak to me, Jesus. You know that I understand no other voice but yours, O good shepherd. In the dwelling of my heart is the wilderness to which no creature has access. There you alone are king. The same spirit, the hope of you, only the voice of God. When I entered the chapel for 5 minutes adoration, I asked the Lord Jesus how I should conduct myself during this retreat. Then I heard this voice in my soul. I desire that you be entirely transformed into love, and that you burn ardently as a pure victim of love. As a victim, that means sacrifice. Every minute of your suffering, together with Christ, be burned and offered as a victim. Eternal truth, give a ray of your light that I may come to know you, O Lord, and worthily to glorify your infinite mercy. At the same time, grant me to know myself, though a beast of misery that I am. I have chosen St. Claude de la Colombière and St. Gertrude as my patron saints for these retreats, that they may intercede for me before the Mother of God and the merciful Savior. During the meditation on creation, at a certain point, my soul became closely united to its Lord and Creator. In this union, I recognized the purpose and destiny of my life. The purpose is to become closely united to God through love, and my destiny is to praise and glorify God's mercy. The Lord has allowed me to know and experience this in a distinct and even physical way. I become lost in the admiration when I recognize on the initial day of the retreat, I cannot meditate on this and further. Only love can understand this meeting of two spirits, namely God who is spirit and the soul who is spirit. The meeting of two spirit, our soul, and that the spirit of the divine divinity. The more I know him, the more completely with all the strength of my being I drown in him. We are born from the Lord, our soul, from divine person, image of the three persons. So this unity is a real unity. We have the body, the body is bringing down all these relationships. In this retreat, I shall keep you continually close to my heart, that you may better know my mercy, that mercy which I have for people, and especially for poor sinners. On the initial date of retreat, I was visited by one of the sisters who had succumbed to make her perpetual vows. She confided to me that she had no trust in God and became discouraged at every little thing. It's a temptation. I answered her, "It's well that you have told me that, sister. I will pray for you." And I spoke a few words to her about how much distress hurts the Lord Jesus, especially distress on the part of a chosen soul. She told me that beginning with her perpetual vows, she would practice trust. Now, I know that even some souls that are chosen and well advanced in the spiritual life or the spiritual life do not have the courage to entrust themselves completely to God. So no matter how old you are in the religious life, trust is not because of over many years, then you'll trust more. Not necessary. Even the first day, you can trust more than the one who 10 years. That means to say, that means you are baptized many years ago, that means you are strong in faith. Even those newcomers for a catechism class, but they have a better faith than me. This is so because few souls know the unfathomable mercy of God and His great goodness. Not too many know this love of God. Only by the chosen ones. Chosen means those who open their hearts. The great majesty of God which pervades me today and still pervades me awoke in me a great fear, but a fear filled with respect, and not the fear of a slave, which is quite different from the fear of respect. This fear, animated by respect, arose in my heart today because of love in the knowledge of the greatness of God, and that is a great joy to the soul. The soul trembles before the smallest offense against God, but that does not trouble or darken its happiness. There, where love is in charge, all is well. It sometimes happens while I'm listening to the meditation that one word puts me in very close union with the Lord, and I no longer know what Father is saying. Just one word touch a soul already half in heaven. So many times you don't have to follow the whole passage of the gospel or the scripture. If just one phrase takes you to stay, that's what we call Lectio Divina. You know, have you heard about this word? Lectio Divina, you know, usually in groups, each one listening and hearing and sharing. And just one phrase, just share that phrase. That's for you. I know that I'm close to the most merciful heart of Jesus. My whole spirit is entirely plunged in Him. And in one moment, I learned more than during long hours of intellectual inquiry and meditation. These are sudden lights which permit me to know things as God sees them, regarding matters of both the interior and exterior world. So nice, eh? Open our hearts. Sometimes, ding, you got it. Many times you study and try to ask and you're going to miss. I see that Jesus Himself is acting my soul during this retreat. And as for me, I try only to be faithful to His grace. I've submitted my soul completely to the influence of God. This mighty ruler of heaven has taken entire possession of my soul. I feel that I'm being lifted up above earth and heaven into the inner life of God, where I come to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but always in the unity of majesty. Still, you know, they're distinct, but see just one whole majesty. It's very hard to understand, eh? the divinity of the three persons. There are three and one. I will enclose myself in the chalice of Jesus so that I may comfort Him continually. I will do everything within my power to save souls, and I will do it through prayer and suffering. Prayer and suffering together. Today we celebrate Exaltation of the Cross. Prayer and suffering. Not static. but dynamic. We participate this offering, not that, of course, Jesus himself served for us, but we share. That's why sometimes we may share some of his suffering so that we can participate in salvation of the world. That means we are one body. In the Lord, we are not nobody. We are somebody. We are together in one way or another. Sooner or later, we participate in the life of Christ. In suffering, in joy, everything. It's what the Lord wants. Open. Don't tell yourself you are forgotten by the Lord. He knows you from inside out. Don't worry that he will miss you. He will never miss you. Only you miss him. Only you don't see him. You don't want to take this cross. I try always to be a Bethany for Jesus so that he may rest here after all his labor. In Holy Communion, my union with Jesus is so intimate and incomprehensible that even if I wanted to desire it in writing, I could not do so because I lack the words. You know, she wrote already so much from her heart. But ultimately, God really deep in her soul cannot write. You know, you cannot how to write all those intimacy. This evening, I saw the Lord Jesus just as he was during his passion. His eyes were raised up to the Father, and he was praying for us. Although I was ill, I made up my mind to make a holy hour today as usual. During that hour, I saw the Lord Jesus being scourged at the pillar. In the midst of this frightful torture, Jesus was praying. After a while, he said to me, "There are few souls who contemplate my passion with true feeling. I give great grace to souls who meditate devoutly on my passion. With a special help for me, you are not even capable of accepting my graces. You know who you are. Even to accept grace, we need his grace." We thought you don't want. Even you want, you don't have the strength. If Jesus is not giving you anything, don't think that I'm capable. Not at all. That's what for sinners confirming. After Holy Communion today, I spoke at length to the Lord Jesus about people who are special to me. Then I heard these words: "My daughter, don't be exhausting yourself so much with words. Those whom you love in a special way, I too love in a special way. And for your sake, I sowed my graces upon them. So you love your dear ones in the Philippines. Jesus tell you, I love them also. Don't tell me that you're the only person you love them. Jesus loves them more than you love. Trust. I'm pleased when you tell me about them. But don't be doing so with such excessive effort. I have to pray hard. Jesus, I pray harder than you. Don't tell me that you do this and do that. I know everything. I love them more than you love. So beautiful. So at ease. Stay in Hong Kong and they're going with Jesus works. Busy with what you're doing today. Not your mind or things abstract. Then you have a real, at least at this moment. So beautiful, eh? It's worth the whole week. You'll be settled. The Lord loves you as much as the Lord loved your neighbor, your dear ones in the Philippines, in Canada, everybody. And trust. The word trust, you know. Trust and then trust. Oh, Savior of the world, I unite myself with your mercy. My Jesus, I join all sufferings to yours and dispose them in the treasury of the church for the benefit of souls. Today I was led by an angel to the chasm of hell. It's a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of torture I saw, the first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God. The second is perpetual remorse of conscience. Feel sorry, but no return. First, loss of God. You don't see. You have to see him, but you can't see forever. And then you feel bad that you cannot do anything else. Third, is that one's condition will never change. At least today, you feel something wrong, say sorry, and your sin will be forgiven. But in eternity, if you never said this before, you will still stick to your personal things, never change. It's terrible, huh? That's hell. Never change. And you know it. Because you have a soul. You purposed against. Just like Satan. They know they have to praise the Lord. They don't want. For forever condemning the Lord, cursing. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. A terrible suffering, since it's a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture is continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and their own. You see them and then cursing all the time. Human being and the angels, I mean the lost angel. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is terrible despair, hatred of God, wild words, curses and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together. But that's not the end of the sufferings. There are special tortures destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which it has sinned. There are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if the omnipotence of God had not supported me. Let a sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity. In those senses which he made use of to sin. I'm writing this at the command of God, so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell or that nobody has ever been there, and so no one can say what it is like. Even two of the visionaries of Medjugorje, I think it's Riska and Yaakov, once Mary brought them to see heaven, purgatory, and hell. Hell, they do not see, but they can feel the same thing. They're little kids, so our heavenly mother don't want to scare them so much. But still, what the purpose? The message of Medjugorje, of our heavenly mother, is to tell the world, heaven exists. First of all, God exists. Hell exists. Don't tell people, because many people, well, with end of life, it's end of everything. Every mother said no. That's because by that time, 1990s, it's still the communism in the Yugoslavia, ex-Yugoslavia. So the teaching of the communists, of course, no God. It's communism, no? But only during that period, Mary gave a teaching, God exists. I, Sister Faustina, by the order of God, have visited the beasts of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. I cannot speak about it now, but I have received a command from God to leave it in writing. The devils were full of hatred of me, for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but the pale shadow of the things I saw. But notice one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieved that there is a hell. So they take it easy. They don't believe. They're a bit naive. When I came to, I could hardly recover from the fright after this experience. You can rest. This and the world suffering forever. How terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them. God is merciful. God look after everybody. But if you don't want to open your eye, open your heart, how can the grace of God? Oh my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world amidst the greatest sufferings than offend you by the least sin. So today, when we sin, we're still torturing Jesus. Word of Jesus. My daughter, if I demand through you that people revere my mercy, you should be the first to distinguish yourself by this confidence in my mercy. I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. Not to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. You must not stray from this or try to excuse or absolve yourself from it. Always be merciful towards people. I'm giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. The first, by deed. The second, by word. The third, by prayer. By deed, by word, and by prayer. In these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy. And it is an unquestionable proof of love for me. Word of Jesus. By deed, first of all. By word, teaching, admonishment. By prayer, if they don't listen, pray for. But this means a soul glorifies and pays reference to my mercy. Yes, the first Sunday after Easter is the Feast of Mercy. But there must also be acts of mercy. So not only just procession, just prayer, also acts of mercy. And I demand the worship of mercy through the solemn celebration of the feast and through the veneration of this image which is painted. By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy, because even the strongest faith is of no avail without works. So you say you believe, but never have you touch anything, not enough acts of mercy. It's important. Oh my Jesus, you yourself must help me in everything, because you see how very little I am, and so I depend solely on your goodness of God.